The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
The Eric Stewart Show on WMAL.
Pointing you home.
All you need to know about buying, selling, and everything in between. Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Well, good morning, DMV. It's another lovely Sunday morning, and I'd like to express my gratitude to all of you for always starting your Sunday mornings listening to me here talk about real estate, local news throughout the years. If you've missed any show, look us up on Spotify or iHeartRadio. That's Pointing You Home on Spotify or iHeartRadio. If you're on your computer, all you have to do is Google Eric Stewart Group Radio to listen to us anytime you want. I sold a home, and it settled many, many years ago now, probably about 15, 16 years ago, and it involved a graveyard. So as we are entering into the month of October and we're looking at Halloween, it's an interesting subject. What do you do when a property has a graveyard on it? Do you have an obligation to disclose when it's not actually in the house? Or part of the structure do you have to disclose when you know that there's a graveyard? Well, in my experience, the answer is yes. Well, here's what happened when I sold a home to a buyer some many years ago. I represented a buyer who fell in love with a home that was originally built in 1850. It was on, actually it still is, on Warfield Road up in the Goshen area of Gaithersburg, Maryland. The property is on about 7 acres, and it has what we call a flag lot in real estate. I want you to think about a flagpole, and this will help you understand the shape of the lot. A flagpole is a long, narrow pole all the way up to where the flag is, where things kind of open up into the size of a flag, right? So in a flag lot, you have a long driveway that leads you back to this property where this house that was originally built in 1850 and that burned down and then was rebuilt in 1924, exists. The property was owned by a woman who purchased it, she and her husband, in 1968, and they were finally coming to terms with the time had come. It had been 34, 35, 36 years they'd been in the home, and it was time to retire and downsize, and I think her husband was gone at this point. So she just, it was too much for her to care for. And the couple I was working with were super nice people, and they loved the idea of owning an old historic home, a home that was built many, many years ago. And the bushes, just these gorgeous English boxwoods, no kidding, I'm saying these are on the order of about 15 to 18 feet tall English boxwoods. They were planted 100 years earlier and had just grown up into these incredible bushes, just incredibly gorgeous. Well, we got under contract to buy the property. It had been on the market for a little while. People had kind of looked at it but decided it was too much work, that kind of a thing. And we got it under contract and we went into the home inspection. Well, you can bet, like buying an old car, that there were some things that were found under the hood. And in fact, in this case, there was lead paint discovered in multiple places at the house, which didn't really surprise me because the house was built in the 20s. And it was a nice house on a nice piece of ground at that period of time. And lead paint, if you recall, lead paint is bad because if we ingest it, if we breathe it in, it can negatively affect our health, and we can pass it on generationally to other generations, from what I understand. I know as a kid, we were all warned not to eat the windowsills, right? Don't suck on the windowsills. Like, that was a common thing. I don't know who did that, but I know there was a period of time where I chewed on the windowsills at our house. And I turned out to be pretty abnormal. So that kind of, I guess that sort of explains it.
That's what it is.
You know, so, but, you know, but seriously, so lead paint is a problem. Why did people use lead paint? Well, it was the most expensive paint because once you painted a wall or painted a door jamb or a window jamb with lead paint, you wouldn't have to paint it again for many years. In fact, sometimes lead paint will last you 50, 60, 70 years. It's a base element, so it still exists. And if you paint over lead paint, you've encapsulated it, so you're not going to likely have any problems with ingesting it. but you need to know that it's there to know that you shouldn't be chewing on that wall, if you get my point. Or if it's on a door jamb where there's friction from a door opening and shutting, you either need to cut the door jamb out, replace it with a new one that has no lead paint, or keep it well painted so that the friction doesn't wear through the layers of paint to where the lead paint is. And if the friction then causes that particulate to go up into the air, you might breathe it in. You get my point. Very few homes of the 3,200 homes I've sold over the last 32 years, very few homes ever have had lead paint. This house had it on Warfield Road. It also had asbestos insulation wrapped around the heating pipes in the basement. And asbestos is also a problem, and it causes a mesothelioma. Thank you, Ken. Right. Mesothelioma. And that's, you know, disastrous to a person's health. So discovering that, discovering the lead paint, and then on top of that, discovering termites. Yeah, there were termites that had riddled a wall in one of the living rooms. They had just kind of eaten lunch and decided they would stay for dinner. So the seller and the buyer agreed to a $10,000 adjustment to address the work that would need to get done because of the termites and because of the wrapping of the pipes that would need to get removed. And as far as the lead paint was concerned, they just accepted that the house was built at a time where there were some places that were not going to be a threat to their family. And that was the end of it. So we're moving towards settlement. We go to the final walkthrough. Now, I couldn't go to the final walkthrough, but a guy named Dan, who worked for me at the time, he went to the final walkthrough. And at the final walkthrough, Mrs., older owner of this property, casually mentions, this is the day before closing, casually mentions, oh, I forgot to tell you. When I bought the house in 1968, I was told that there are 12 Union soldiers buried here in the front yard of my home. And she pointed to the ground directly in front of the house. And my client was aghast, you can imagine. And Mrs. Beyer, platinum blonde, you know, just chiffon, Chanel, like just dropped her mouth. Her husband, who was just this wonderful guy, and they're a great, great couple, you know, they're just shocked, right? There's actually a graveyard literally in front of the house, right there by the front door of the home, according to what the current owner says. And it's just being disclosed now at the day before settlement. But she goes on and she says, no, but seriously, there was a lineman for the county, because as you remember, this is a flag lot. So it has this long pole-shaped lot that comes off of Warfield, and you drive down this driveway a good 1,000 to 1,500 feet before you come to the house where the lot opens up and where those giant English boxwoods are and this nice piece of ground and so on. And it's beautiful, right? But you have this flag lot, this pole, and the telephone wires are on telephone poles that come down this long driveway. And she had somebody, a lineman for the county, God bless Glenn Campbell, may he rest in peace. A lineman for the county comes in. He's up on a pole and he says, I see 12 divots in your front yard. I get a call. And you can imagine the shock that my client feels. There's a graveyard in their front yard, or so they thought. So I don't really have any experience at that time with graveyards. Yeah, I've sold a couple of houses that had, you know, two-person graveyard on the back property. Everybody knew about it. But discovering it and then trying to wrestle with how to handle it, you can imagine. This is very last minute and could blow up the transaction. And think, too, about this. These are Union soldiers. At least she represented it. And what are Union soldiers? Well, they are soldiers that served in the military of the United States. And if they are, in fact, buried there, then this would become a graveyard that could be accessed from sunrise until sunset every day by any family member of any of those 12 people. And most likely, there would be some kind of excavation to figure out exactly who it was, because it probably wasn't known. Well, I went down to the county and went down to the deed transfer office to look at the transfer of ownership over time, to go back as far back as I could to see if, in fact, there was a graveyard on the property. Now, remember, the house was originally built in 1850, burned down, and was rebuilt in 1924-25 period of time. Civil War was in that period between 1861 and 1865, and so it would have been when the original house was there. Well, went back, kept going back through these old giant book pages, looking at hand-inscribed transfer of deeds stamps, old stamps from the county. And the language, my gosh, you would not believe the language in the 1850-1860 period, how dramatically different it is. It's really quite something. And sure enough, mentioned there of a driveway coming across the very front of that property to a graveyard. But what was realized at that moment, it was 350 acres and now only seven. And where that driveway cut across the front yard was 70 acres. And next to this property is the Laytonsville Golf Course. And under the 16th hole, there are 12 Union soldiers buried. And that is a half a mile away. We went to settle. I got to make a quick break here because I've got Stuart Rosenthal in. Good morning, Stuart.
It's almost Halloween.
That's true.
Right, yes.
It's
but you never scare me, though. Hey, the Beacon Expo, Silver Spring.
Yes.
By the way, boy, that event at Springfield was fantastic.
Wasn't it? That was 2 weeks ago, and it was really exciting.
Very nice. Now, will Dr. Mintz be here as well?
The same keynote speaker is talking about medical marijuana and CBD oil, what seniors need to know. He was a very good speaker, I thought. Very solid scientific background and still suggested ways in which it could be very helpful. And, of course, we have all the usual vaccinations. In fact, more this year than ever. We have, in addition to the flu, pneumonia, tetanus, and shingles vaccines. So Giant's doing that for us this year. They're doing a lot of vaccines, a lot of giveaways, too.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's going to be where?
That's at the Silver Spring Civic Center, downtown Silver Spring, from noon to 4 on today, actually, this afternoon.
Indeed, today, from 12 to 4.
Yes, so I hope to see you all there.
Yep, come on out.
Come on
Thanks.
Out. Bring your friends. It's free.
If you want more information, go to thebeaconnewspapers.com. Thanks, Stuart. Always a pleasure. Well, more on the flip. Stay with me. I'll be right back.